A special note to our listeners and to our class followers. Daf 57 will be recorded and the class will be held on Motzei Tisha B'Av at 9:45 p.m. at the Lawrence Avenue Synagogue. Again, after Tisha B'Av, the class will not be held on Thursday morning. It will be held on Thursday night. We will therefore post the class and upload it to the website on Friday morning. Again, Daf 57 will be 9:45 p.m. at the Lawrence Avenue Shul on Motzei Tisha B'Av, Thursday night.
The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Yomah has been dedicated in memory of Mazal Bat Esther Baghdadi and Yosef Ben Mazal Baghdadi by their family. Ruach Hashem Tanihem Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf has been dedicated by North Fork Bank and its private banking department with Gabriel Safti. Hashem Yishmerehu V'Hayehu. We would like to thank North Fork Bank and urge our listeners to patronize this generous financial institution. On a private note, we'd like to thank Mr. Gabriel Safti for his continued support for all our programs here at Daf Yomi, Torah Learning Resources, and the Torah Center. Teskele Mitzvot. Today's Daf has been dedicated in memory of Yosef ben Mazal and Shlomo Rafael ben Mazal. Ruach Hashem Tanihem began Eden. Amen. Daf Nun Vav. Today's daf is being studied the Alun Ishmat Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihenu began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied Latzlachat Hayale Saval Yisrael. Haomdim al Mishmar Arzenu Veare Elohenu Megebul Halebanon Barava. מגיבול מצרים ועד הים ביבשה באוויר ובים לקדוש ברוך הוא should deliver them victory from the enemies and also תושבי ארץ ישראל specifically in the north הקדוש ברוך הוא should protect them from attacks הנה לא ינום ולא ישן שומר ישראל ומשביזוכה בנחמת ציון ובבניין ירושלים אמן. We begin today's daf on Nun He Amud Sheni. And we are going to start four lines from the bottom. Let us just review where we're holding in this sugya. We learned in yesterday's piece that Rabbi Yehuda held we do not have two stands in the Beit HaMikdash, one to put the blood of the pot on it and one to put the blood of the sa'ir. Instead, we just have one stand. And therefore, when he comes to put back the blood of the par, first he takes the blood of the sa'ir and he puts the blood of the par. And therefore, there's no room for any error. So the Gemara originally thought to say, how come Rabbi Yehuda doesn't allow you just to put two stands with signs? You know, so you don't come to make a mistake. Put the sign dam par and dam sa'ir. Therefore, for sure, you'll know exactly which blood you're taking. So the Gemara assumed in Ahav Amina, Ayla, you see what? Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold that signs are considered enough to stop a person from making a mistake. Gemara said, can't be. We know Rabbi Yehuda holds of signs. Why? Because we know there were 13 shofarot in the Beit HaMikdash, and we know that that statement of 13 shofarot was going like Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda's opinion also was that you're not allowed to put a shofar, a box, to collect four kinim of hatat. That's mandatory birds that are brought, let's say, for a zav, zava, yuledet, or somebody goes into Beit HaMikdash Tameh. And the reason he said is because mepnei ha'tarovet, because he's concerned about mixing up. Now, originally we thought mixing up means mixing up the monies of hatat with the monies of ola, which is nedava. And you can't bring in the dava money to use it for hatat money or vice versa. And we said also that when we see here that obviously writing on the box kine hatat or kine ola is not enough. So you see again another proof that writing is not, signs are not sufficient. The Gemara said no, it's not to do with signs. Rabbi Yehuda really holds signs are sufficient. Haraya, the proof, the 13 shofarot had signs on them. Taklin Hatin, Taklin Atikin, Gozle Ola, Gozle Bnei Yonah, etc. So if the signs are satisfactory, the Kohen doesn't come to make a mistake. So why then can he put Kineh Hatat? Put Kineh Hatat, they put with a sign. So the Gemara says, no. The issue over here is you're worried that the owner died. Meaning a guy came into the Beit HaMikdash, he put his four coins in the box, he left. The Kohen found out afterwards, conclusively, that the fellow, or one of the fellows that has his money in the box, died. Now it's considered Hatat Shemetu Ba'aleha. The law is that those four coins have to go into Yam HaMelech. They have to be destroyed. The problem is, which four coins? Yeah, there's 100 coins, for example, in the box. How does the Kohen know which coins? So the Gemara says, well, use the concept of Bereda. Meaning, let the Kohen take out any four coins arbitrarily, and then we say retroactively, selecting, that these were the coins that the guy put in, and therefore, you throw them in Yam HaMelech, and the rest of the coins are okay. The Gemara says, yeah, one problem. Rabbi Yehuda let le Bereda. Rabbi Yehuda, he's Mahmir. And therefore, he doesn't say Bereda, Likuda. And therefore, in this case over here, he's not going to institute Berera, and therefore, there's four coins somewhere in there that are unknown, but you know they have to get destroyed, and since you don't know which ones they are, the whole box would become Isud. And that's what he meant, Mepnei HaTa'arovet. You're worried about the mixture in the box themselves. So now the Gemara is going to go on a tangent. How do you know that Biyuda doesn't hold a Berera? So the Gemara starts, Rabbi Yehuda let le berera minalan, which means, how do we know that Rabbi Yehuda does not subscribe to the principle of berera? So ilema me'ad etnan. Maybe it's from the following Mishnah. Halokeyach yain miben akutiim. Erev Shabbat im hashecha. A guy buys wine from a kuti, Erev Shabbat right before sunset. Now again, this is obviously before the rabbis made a gezerah about drinking the wine of kutiim. Kutiim were these quasi-converts that the hachamim said that they were really not legitimate. According to one opinion, they were considered gerei arayot. They only converted because of fear of lions that were attacking them. And therefore the hachamim put certain restrictions, they treated them like goyim to a certain sense. And therefore their wine became forbidden. Now she said this was called them gezerah. So the wine is kasher. The only problem is you have to take terumot and masrot. Let's review the terumot and masrot situation. You have to take terumah 2%. You have to take maser rishon, that's 10%. You have to take maser shini, which is an additional 10%. So now it's Erev Shabbat im Hashecha. It's already Shabbat. Now what? You don't have time, or even better, you don't have a separate keli available to separate the terumot maasrot. You only have the jug of wine. So we have to figure out a way that you can take terumot and maasrot and designate it while keeping it in the same jug and not emptying it out. So the Gemara says, Omed ve'omer. He gets up and he says, Shene lugin shani atid lafrish harehen terumah. First he says, listen, the two log that I am destined to separate, let's say he has 100 in there, right? So 2%, the two log that I'm destined to take, meaning I'm going to drink the leftover two log retroactively. I say that was my terumah. Means whatever I'm drinking over Shabbat, that's regular wine. But I can just drink the wine, there's no terumah. No, the terumah is floating somewhere in there. Where is it? The last two log, so to speak, is considered the terumah. Good. Asara ma'aser rishon. 10 log in the barrel, that will go for the levi ma'aser rishon. Tosfot points out, it's really not 10 log, it's 9.8. Because once you take the two of terumah, you're left with 98, so 10% is 9.8, but the Gemara just says 10 as a round number. Tishra ma'aser sheni. Right, now you have basically, let's say, 90 left. It's really less than that. But the point is, you take another 10% of that, which is 90. 10% is 9. And that goes for Ma'asir Shini. Now, what do you do with Ma'asir Shini? That's for the owners. They take that to Yerushalayim. They eat it in Yerushalayim. Umehal v'shotem miyad. Now, regarding Ma'asir Shini, we're able to... not profane it, but we're able to redeem it. which means we're able to transfer the Kedusha of Maaser Sheni onto monies. So you do that immediately. Because as much as we could fix, we want to fix, which means we'd rather not have a floating Maaser Sheni in the barrel. So we can get the Maaser Sheni out and put it on a coin. Good, so the Maaser Sheni, we coined it, and therefore we're done with that. So what do you have floating in your barrel now? 2% Maaser, I'm sorry, 2% Teruma, 10% Maaser. So it says, V'shoteh miyad, drink, no problem, divrei meir. Look at Rashi, Umechal, Maaser Sheni ala ma'odema, sheyesh biyado letaken, yitaken. Whatever you can fix, fix now. V'shoteh min ha'tarovet, u'sheyu lo kelim, Motzei Shabbat, let's say. Once he gets kelim, yafrish ba hatiruma u'maaser. And he can even pour 2 and then pour 10. The simichin abirera. We rely on the principle of abirera. Ve'lomar ze ayat tiruma u'shata cholin. That's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Comes the Gemara and says Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, Osrin. Clearly, Rabbi Yehuda says asur alma en berera. Must be because there's no berera, and therefore you can't just say it's floating in there, and then whatever one I pour out, that's going to be the teruma. No, we don't say retroactively that's the one. So here's the proof that what Rabbi Yehuda doesn't know the berera. Dilma shaniata, maybe it's different over there. Kedeketani ta'ama. Because the Gemara gives the reason. Amru lo Rabbi Meir. They told Rabbi Meir, I mean Rabbi Yehuda, and all these rabbis, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yosef, they told Rabbi Meir. Iatamode Shemme Yibakahanot, Venimsa Shote Tevalim, Nemafraya. Which means, don't you suspect that maybe the barrel's going to break? If the barrel breaks, comes out retroactively, you drank tevil, because you didn't give the tirumot and the maaser, which means by your way of doing it, it's very dangerous. You say the tirumot is floating in there. You didn't give it yet. The maaser is floating in there. Good. Now what happens? Hey, you're drinking. Now let's say after you started to drink a little, the barrel broke down. You lost all the wine. You didn't give your tirumot and maaser. Retroactively, you ended up drinking. Tevil. So that's what they told the Bimir. You're not worried about it. Shema Yibaka, no? Amar Lahev. So what did the Bimir answer? Lichshi Yibaka. When it breaks, I'll worry about it. But I don't suspect that it's going to break. And therefore, you see the machloket over here has nothing to do with Berera. Really, I can tell you the Biuda also holds Yesh Berera. The only reason why he says it's a pseudo is suspecting that the barrel might break before you get to actually separate it and divvy it out, and then we're going to drink Tevil and Mafraya. So we're back to the question, how do you know the Biuda doesn't hold the Berera? So comes again what it says, Ela Meditani Ayo, from the statement of Ayo. Detani Ayo, that's the name of the Tamid Hakam. Ayo the Tana Torah and the Braita. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, En Adam Matne Al Shene Devarim Keechad. A person cannot make a condition on two things simultaneously. What are we referring to over here? So this came from Masichet Arubin. If you remember, we're discussing the following case. Guys on Erev Shabbat. Okay? So now he's anticipating there's going to be 2 Tamidei Chachamim that are going to come to visit the city. Okay? One's going to come from the east, and one's going to come from the west. If you remember in Arubin, in order for a person to extend his Tchum, because normally without a Eruv, your Tchum is 2,000 Amma to each side. Now, the guy is suspecting, well, if the rabbi comes from the east side, he needs to extend his Tchum towards the east. So he would put, let's say, his provisions 2,000 amma away from the city, so he could walk all the way to his provisions, right? Because it's considered as if he had Shemitah there from a Shabbat. And then from there, he has an additional 2,000, so he can get to the east to visit or to go to the Shi'ud. So the guy wants to say like this: on Erev Shabbat, he puts one to the east and he puts one to the west. And he said, listen, tomorrow I'll decide what shiur I'm going to go to. You know, if I want to go to the east, I want to go to the west. Maybe that's you can't do that. You cannot establish 2 erubin on the east and the west on Friday and decide on Shabbat which eruv you're going to use. That does not work. However, He says, Ela imba hakam le mizrah, erubo le mizrah, ma'arav, erubo le ma'arav. But he can establish two erubin on Friday. They can say, listen, one rabbi is coming. Whichever direction the rabbi comes in, that's where the eruv I want to be activated. No. But both sides, no. Now, look at Rashi for a second, just to get the case. Second line: En adam matne al shne devarim le'aniach shne erubin, echad lemizrach ve'echad lemaarav. Sheme im yavou shne rachamim, echad lemizrach ve'echad lemaarav. Ve'lomar le'eze men she'erse elech lemahar. Now, why is that not good? V'shekeniyat eruv ben Hashem Hashoti. When does the eruv get activated? Ben Hashem Hashot on Friday. U'kshezeh borer lemahar oto she'erse. Now, when he decides on Shabbat which direction he wants to go to, lo samchina na birira. We're not going to use the concept of birira velomar hubrar sha'iruv letzad chacham zekana shevita emesh. Like if you say held the birira, you'd say whatever I saw, decided today, I'll say that was in my mind and my kavanah the day before. That was the iruv that was activated. Ela al chacham echad, meaning, but if it's one rabbi, ve'enu yodel ezeruach yabohu. He doesn't know which side the one rabbi is coming. Matne, he makes a condition. Im ba'al mizrach, erubi shel mizrach yikneh. V'im ba'al ma'arav, erubi shel ma'arav yikneh. V'idu lekan ulekan, shenei hakamim lemakom she'erze elek. Lo, the in birira. So the Gemara is going to ask the obvious question. There's birira even by one rabbi. Which is just like you tell me you don't say it when there's two rabbis coming. The same she'ela should be. You shouldn't say it with one rabbi. The bottom line, whatever... On Shabbat, you're relying on whatever the rabbi's direction is, right? So now, the rabbi decides to come from the east. So that was decided on Shabbat. So now, retroactively, you want to say, the eastern Eruv hit on Erev Shabbat. That's also Birira. So how does the Biudah split the cases here? Now, Avinan Bar Gemara analyzes, Mai Shena Lekan Ulekan. Why, when there's two rabbis coming from two directions, Delo, you say that your Eruv is no good, the in Birira, because we don't use the concept of Birira, Le Mizrach Umarav Nameh, in Birira. For that matter, when the one Hakam is deciding whether he's going to come from the east or the west, it's also no Birira, because he's making that decision on Shabbat, the Hakam. So therefore, you don't go retroactively and say that that's the Eruv that was activated, because also, and Birira. So what's the difference? So look at the Rashi, Ve'avinan ba. Because Salkad Atak Ben Hashem Hashot Adayin Chacham Lo Ba. Right? Obviously at this time we're assuming that the Ben Hashem Hashot, the rabbi, did not come yet. Ve'hu Be'alachson. Now Rashi just gives you the Mitzvah to the case. How can the rabbi come from the east and the west? I mean, he has options. I mean, what side is he on? If he's on the east, he's coming from the east. He's on the west, he's on the west. So Rashi says, no, he's on a diagonal. And therefore, v'yachol lavo m'shetachshak lemizlach ulma'arav. For example, let's say, one way of understanding it, you have the city, right? In front of the city you have a big mountain, okay? So the rabbi could come either to the east side of the mountain around to the city, or he can come to the west. So therefore, it's all up to the hakam's decision. So the Gemara says, the Amar of Yohanan, actually you can read the next Rashi, Mizrach u'ma'arav, kishetala ze'erubo b'dat ha'chakam, when you put your eruv, when you're relying on the dat of the hakam, nomar, yikneh eruv l'ruach she'hakam ba'ala, en birira, shem me'birish m'asut yam b'datot shel hakam l'ruach she'kenegda, which means there's no birira, maybe the hakam is going the other way, b'nashem asot. So you can't say, u'brara davar mafriya, that the eruv that you picked was what the hakam was thinking. When you don't say birira, you don't say whatever the rabbi decided today, that's what was yesterday. Ela, you say the opposite. No birira means, yeah, maybe what the rabbi was thinking on Erev Shabbat, when he thought on Shabbat, maybe that's what he was not thinking on Erev Shabbat, therefore you cannot put his Kavanah Shabbat retroactively to Erev Shabbat. So the Gemara doesn't know. The Amar of Yohanan, Keshekebar Ba Hakam. You have to say that that case is when the Hakam already committed on Erev Shabbat. Meaning, just the guy didn't know which side. So he just put east, west, whatever side the rabbis coming on, that's where Ma'aruv is. So you're not working with Bnei Rav here, because the rabbi already on Erev Shabbat, before Bnei Shabbat stood, committed to the East, let's say. So therefore the East is activated. It's not working retroactively, it's working
when he chose.
When he chose, which is he chose on Erev Shabbat. Good. So what do you see over here? You see clearly that, but in the other case, where the rabbis were coming on Shabbat, Rabbi Yehuda says, "En matnin al shnei devarim ke'echad," which teaches me what? No berera. So that's very good. Now we understand why. I go back to the case of the kinim. We understand why you don't put a box of shofar of kinim hatat, because the guy is going to die, and if he dies, all the coins are going to become isur. And you're not going to have an option of taking four arbitrary coins out and say, Bidirah, that those are the coins of the one that died. Very good. But what do you also see? Ketivah. That Rabbi Yehuda does hold of Ketivah. So we're back to that question. Why then on Kippur? Don't you put two stands, one for the Dam Apar and one for the Dam Sayyid? And don't tell me you're worried about mix-up. I'll solve it. Put a sign, Dam Apar, Dam Achatat. So comes the Gemara and says, "Ve'ashta damrinan Rabbi Yehuda in Berera," which means now that you're interpreting the case of the kinim, it's not because of mix-up. Because mix-up you could have solved by putting signs. Ela, the reason why the kini hatat you don't put is because of what? In Berera. Oh, but ketiva you hold of. Ha ketiva itle, but ketiva you hold of. Yom kippurim name nabitre. Let him do two stands v'nichtov alayhu, and let him write it on it. Gemara's answer: Mishum cholsha de kohen gadol lava darte. The kohen gadol is tired. He's weak on Kippur, and therefore, even by putting signs, he's not going to be ma'yin. He's not going to analyze correctly, which means normally signs are good, but not on Kippur, because you're dealing with a frail Kohen Gadol. And therefore, it's not going to work, and therefore we don't trust his ayun, his analyzing, even with signs. Therefore, we want it to be foolproof. When you have one stand, you can't make a mistake. You have to take one, you put one. So you know you're not going to take the pod instead of the Sa'id or vice versa. Now the Gemara says, because if you're not going to say this, that there's a concept of Chulshat the Kohen Gadol, belo ketiva nameh. Even without ketiva, seemingly there's a difference in the Dama Par and the Dama Sa'ir. Number one, hai nafish vehai zutar. There's more blood from a Par than there is from a Sa'ir. So automatically he should know the difference. What the Gemara is going to basically try to say is, obviously you have to say the factor of Chulshat the Kohen Gadol is an issue over here, because even without signs, the Chaura, just look, this is big blood, a lot of blood, this is little blood. Yep. Now, v'chi tema lo magbil lekule, maybe you'll tell me, no, that's not a factor, because who said you have to receive all the blood? So maybe the bloods are indeed the same. Maybe, you know, you receive a certain amount of dama pad equal to the dama sa'ir. Gemara, that's not so. V'amar Rav Yehuda ha-shuchet sarik shiyekabel et kol damo shel par. Shne'emar ve'et kol dama pad yishpoch el yesod ha-mizbayah. So that's not so. You have to receive all the blood. So therefore, for sure, there's a major difference between dama pad and dama sa'ir. And still, Rav Yehuda doesn't rely on that. So you have to say why? Because Chulshat the Kohen Gadol, he's not paying attention on Kippur. So Gemara says, "Vechitema dilma mishtapech mine." Maybe that's not an option. Maybe we're worried about a case where some of the dama par spills. It's possible. Now, if some of the dama par spills, what's going to happen? You're going to have the same amount. So therefore, that's why you have to come on to. We thought to come on to signs, and that's why we're telling you signs are not going to be good because of Chulshah, and therefore you have to have one stand. She says, maybe I'll argue with you. No, maybe the concern is because you're telling me, what do you mean? Even without putting a sign, they're different. Well, maybe they're not different. What do you mean? Have to be different. There's more blood of the pod than there is of the sa'ir. Maybe you didn't receive all the blood. You have to receive all the blood. Yeah, but maybe, let's say, in a case where some of the blood of the pod spilled out where it's equal. Kabbalah says, still, even so, there's a way to tell the difference. Hai hivar vehai sumak, which means one is lighter. Hivar literally means white. That's the blood of the sa'ir, the goat. Vehai sumak, the blood of the pod is redder. Which means the Kohen just by looking should be able to discern between the colors. So they give us Ela, what's the explanation? Mishum chulshad the Kohen Gadol lavadate. And you have to say again, the chulshad the Kohen Gadol, maybe you want to say, some of the Mefashim explain, since we're talking about sometimes, let's say, an old Kohen, so he's not really able to see the difference between the redness of the pod and the redness of the Sa'id. So Ela, what do you have to come on to? Chulshad the Kohen Gadol. Chulshad the Kohen Gadol lavadate. So too, you have to say the Chosham, the Kohen Gadol, legabe the signs. She's all the Gemara is trying to show is you have to come onto this. Because even without this Gemara, the Chaura, there's a major difference between the two bloods over here. So how come you're not concerned? Mm-hmm. Which means, even if the Rabbi Yehuda held that Ketibah is a good difference. But the point is, you don't have to come onto Ketibah over here. Because the Chaura, there's differences intrinsically in the bloods. So why don't you rely on the quantity? Why don't you rely on the color? Ela, what's the explanation? Chulshad the Kohen Gadol. Oh, so Chulshad the Kohen Gadol. So therefore, even if you put signs in the Buddha, all signs are legitimate, but Chulshad the Kohen Gadol, he's not going to analyze properly, he's not going to look properly, therefore, we're not going to take any chances on Kippur, and then we want one stand. Comes again, what on says, story. Certain person went down in front of Rabbah. Hazan. He used to say down, because in the olden days the Hazan would go lower to the Teva to fulfill the Pasuk min Ma'amakim Keratich Hashem. They used to call God from the depths. So they say, Ahud Nahit. He went down in front of Rabbah. It was Kippur. Amar. So he's reading the Seder Avodah of Kippur. So he says, Yatza v'nicho al kan. Sheni Shebahechal. He took the blood of the Sa'ir, he sprinkled it in the Kodesh Kodashim, he went out and he put it on the second stand. Who's he going like this Hazan? He's following the opinion of the Hakamim that say what? There were two stands. Yes, now Natal Dam Apar Veniyah Dam Sa'ir. So then it says he took the blood of the par and he put down the blood of the sa'id. Who's he going like? The Biuda. So Rava tells him, Amar le hadak rabbanan the hadak rabbiuda. Make up your mind. Who do you hold like? You started off like the rabbanan, and then you go like the Biuda. So he says, Ema hiniyah dama sa'ir v'natal dama par. Ela, say he put down the sa'ir blood first, and then took the black, the dam hapas. That's exactly like, not the Biuda, like Hakamim. He put down the sa'ir in one can, because it's two cans that he took it. So then he corrected him to be consistent. Comes Gemara and says, Tanu Rabbanan. We have a pasuk. V'chein ya'aseh le'ohel mo'ed. Now, the pasuk over here says, I'll read you the whole pasuk. V'chiper ala kodesh metu'ot b'nei yisrael v'pesh'ayim l'chol chatotam v'chein ya'aseh le'ohel mo'ed ashokhin itam b'toch tum'otam. Now, this pasuk is referring to Haza'ah. And the Gemara is going to tell us, whatever you did inside the Kodesh Kodashim, sprinkling towards the Badim, the seven drops, and the Hatemala and Sheva Lemata, V'chen Ya'aseh Le'ohel Mo'ed. From here we're going to learn that you have to also sprinkle in the Kodesh, towards the Parochet. Again, the order of the day was, they took the Dam apart, they brought it into the Kodesh Kodashim, they sprinkled. They went out, put it back, the Dam Sa'ir. Went into the Kodesh Kodashim, sprinkled. Came out, took the Dama Sa'ir, sprinkled towards the Parochet, put the Dama Sa'ir down. Outside they did the Dama Sa'ir first, and then they took the Dama Par, and they sprinkled and they would mix the bloods. How do you know they were sprinkling outside in the Kodesh? So this Pasuk over here. V'chein ya'aseh le'oil mu'ed. מה תלמוד אומר? What is this pasuk coming to teach us? כשם שמזה לפני לפנים, כך מזה בהיכל. Good, that's the first thing. That is first of all a sprinkling outside in the Kodesh. Good? Now, מה לפני לפנים? החתמלה ושבע למטה מדם הפר, כך מזה בהיכל. וכשם שלפני לפנים החתמלה ושבע למטה מדם הסעיר, כך מזה בהיכל. Which means we learn over here what? Exactly what was done in the Kodesh Kadashim is also done in the Kodesh by the same bloods with the same system. V'chen ya'aseh le'oel mo'ed. Now the pasuk ends. Hashochen itam betoch tum'otam. The pasuk says that you do it in front of the Shekhinah that rests among the Jewish people even in the time of their tumah. So the Gemara says, "Afilu b'sha'at shehem tumeim, shechinah imahem." Even at a time where Klal Yisrael is contaminated, which means they have tumah, the shechinah does not leave them. Amar le'ahut tzeduki l'Rabbi Hanina. So a certain tzeduki tells Rabbi Hanina, "Hashta bari tumeim atun." For sure, today, these days, you definitely have tum'ah. And therefore, the Tzedukim was trying to say, Shekhinah is not with you. God has left you people because for sure you have tum'ah. Dichtiv, and the Tzedukim quotes a pasuk from Megillat Echa, tum'ata b'shuleha. The tum'ah of Klal Yisrael was on their hems. What does the pasuk mean to say? Like a lady that's nida. So the blood is dripping down, and it goes down to Hem, which means she has Tum'ah. So Klal Yisrael, at the time of the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, says Tum'ata b'shuneha. Jeez, they were dripping the Tum'ah. It was all over them. And therefore, what was the Tzeduki trying to say? Kodesh, God left you. He's not going to stay with you in your contaminated state. Amar le tachaze maketiv behu. So what did the Siddurki, what did the rabbi come back and answer? What did the Hanina come and answer? Hashochen itam betoch tumotam. Afilu v'zman shem temein, shekhinah shiruya b'nehem. He came back and said, wrong. From the pasuk that says that God that rests amongst Klaisel even in the state of Tum'ah, that you see what? That God is still with Klal Yisrael even in such a state. With this we may explain the pasuk regarding the destruction. The pasuk says, "Va'anochi hastir astir et panai bayomahu." God says that at the time of the destruction, it's going to be a case of hastir panim. Hastir panim means concealment of God, where God is not going to be vividly apparent. As opposed, for example, when we came out of Mitzrayim, it was Gilui Shekhinah. Like we say in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, Mora Gadol Zui Gilui Shekhinah. Which means it was a clear expression. We saw Ze'eli Ve'anvehu, the sea split, Ra'ata Shefchata, Shefcha Layam, Ma Shelo Ra'ata Yechazkel Ben Muzi Behazyonot. Even the maidservant at the Kiryat Yamzul saw the Ma'aseh Merkabat, saw the most amazing revelations. However, at the time of the destruction, those open miracles and clarity that it was all being delivered by the hand of God, Borei Olam concealed himself. But the Torah says it wasn't just a regular concealment. It was a hester betoch hester. It was a concealment in a concealment, which means total astarat panim, where it looks like to the observer that it's just happenstance, that it's just happening, it's the enemies, God has taken away his divine intervention. That was the astarat panim. So I saw a beautiful explanation. What's the double language? Anuchi hastir, astir means like it's a cover within a cover. So the halakha says, if a person, let's say, wants to bring sefer, kedusha, he wants to bring it into the makom that is tameh, the bathroom, for example. Let's say he's at the airport and he has a sefer. He's got to go to the bathroom. Give me an example, right? What does he do? So the guy has his kis betoch kis. If it has a double covering in it, which means you put the sefer in a bag, and you put the bag in your valise. Finish. Keys betoch keys, double covering. It can even go into the bathroom. So now Klal Yisrael was going into galut. We were now going into an area of tum'ah, and the pasuk says hashochen itam betoch tum'otam, that God rests with Bnei Yisrael in the tum'ah. But God's Kodesh. So therefore, what? He had to put himself in kis betoch kis. Vanuchi hastir astir. He had to put himself in a double wrap, so to speak, in order that he can. So adraba, the pasuk of Vanuchi hastir astir is the proof that he's with us. So Jesus, instead of learning it, that he, that's the ultimate of concealment. On the contrary, you see, this is a inyan of redemption, that Borei Olam was with, like the pasuk says, Imo Anuchi. Besara, we say this daf over here on Erev Tisha B'Av, and Be'azat Hashem, tonight we commemorate, unless Mashiach comes in the interim, or Yahweh Navi, we commemorate the Churban. So this is already a little consolation before the Avelut that we're going to mourn today on Avelut Yeshana, the old Avelut, that even so, we're going to read Tumata B'Shureha, that the Tumah is still on us, but what? Hashochen itam betoch tumatam, Borei Olam never abandoned us, even throughout the long exile. Baruch Adonai Olam, Amen.